Ooh, that worked perfectly. Hey, Sots Watch.
Welcome to Sots Watch.
We are Sots Watch.
It sounds like Sasquatch.
I love it. I love it for that very reason.
Do you get it?
I'm Doug.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Aaron.
That was very smooth.
We're drinking beer and we're talking about movies. Guys, are you drinking anything interesting this week?
Well, let me tell you a little something about this pitched blue I'm drinking. That is, isn't that a title? It's from Empyrean, local here in Lincoln, Nebraska. You're damn right. It is a black and blueberry ale. Ooh. And it is tasty.
Like a blackberry and blueberry ale, or like a black ale with blueberries?
I think it's a blackberry and a blueberry, but they advertise it as black and blueberry ale.
I dig it.
And
dig
on the logo is a pitched blue tent. So food for thought.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Window laden.
I get it.
Doug, what are you drinking?
I am drinking. It's a regional lager. It's pretty light. By Heilemann's. It is old style. I don't know if you guys have heard of that.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
It's pretty classic.
Sounds exotic.
Yeah. Very, very well crafted, well thought out brew. Mm-hmm.
$5.99 for a 6-pack of tall boys.
Can't beat it. I myself am enjoying Estrella Dom, and it is Dom good.
So yep. We're just ending the recording there. We're just done now.
It's a beer from Barcelona.
Oh,
excuse me, Barcelona. And it's actually the oldest Spanish brand.
Oh,
Estrella.
Check it out.
Fine lager
beer.
Oh, okay.
Fine lager.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll have something better next time. But it was all coffee beer. An old style.
Don't you dare apologize for old style. That is my cheap beer of choice.
Oh, I just love it. So
I am upset that I can't get it out here, but that's another show. Yep. So folks, today, with Infinity War looming imminent, about to launch and land here in theaters, we're talking about what kind of tie-ins we can expect from this movie. We all know the big stars, the big characters that are going to be in there. You got your Iron Man. Help.
That's it.
It's just Iron Man.
It's all Iron Man.
You got Thursday, Thor.
A lot of Chris's in this movie.
Mm.
That is accurate.
Yeah. There's a Hemsworth. There's a Pratt. An Evans.
Mm-hmm. No Pine.
What?
No Pine.
No Chris Pine.
That's for part two.
No Chris Walken that we're aware of.
That's a shame.
Not yet.
Yeah. But again, we don't know what kind of tie-ins we can expect here. The Marvel Universe is enormous, with characters great and small and awesome and lame. So we took it upon ourselves to decide who Marvel should cameo in this movie. We did two rounds of this. The first round are characters that are actually from the Marvel Universe. Things that, if you were to stay within the Marvel characters, you could actually conceivably bring these characters in to the continuity, as they say. And then the second round is going to be characters from alternate universes, alternate timelines, alternate fictional galaxies and whatnot. And we're including our dream casting with these roles as well. Guys, are you ready? Are you as excited as I am?
I'm very ready. I would like to go back and do a whole episode on that segue where you went from beer right into the Marvel Universe. Something truly special.
Thanks. I'm really good at changing the topic.
Yeah, no, I'm ready. I did not write anything down, but I thought about it a lot. So I am.
I have nothing written down either.
This is ridiculous, guys, because I actually wrote something down. I can't believe that I'm the prepared one.
What?
Wait.
I've got some crude drawings. Yeah.
Holy shit.
He doesn't know what it says. It's just.
Yeah. So, guys, I mean, deer blob shape frog, I think, right? Am I right? That's a joke. I guess it would help if you could see me looking at my notebook for that joke. All right. Who wants to go first?
No, I don't.
Well, why don't I kick things off? Ben, go ahead and start. my Marvel pick is a little out there. Doesn't have a huge following, but my pick would be Moon Knight.
Moon Knight. All right.
Moon Knight. Kind of Marvel's answer to Batman, from what I understand.
Uh-huh.
A little bit.
A little bit. He's more Egyptian god power based, from what I understand.
Very cool.
Yeah, something like that. Anywho, as far as casting goes, I could see Alan Tudyk doing that.
Oh god, I love him.
Because and he's done a lot of voiceover work, and since Moon Knight almost always has his little cowl thing on, he would be able to do that character justice.
Just emoting regardless. Through the mask.
Yes, exactly. So I think he would be the best choice. And, you know, obviously, I think he'd be more suited for, like, the Netflix series, kind of like Jessica Jones or what have you.
Well, sure, but, and that can certainly spring from the movie, you know?
Right. They could do a tie-in or just a little nod to the character and then... Anyway.
Do you know Moonlight Night? that's Sailor
that's
Moon.
That's a different.
That's damn it! I just gave away my outside of the universe pick. Damn it! now I gotta scramble. No, Moon Knight. Do you know his real name?
He goes by Mark Spector.
Of course he does.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
Fantastic, though. I mean, that's great. Yeah. That's good stuff. I actually saw Moon Knight when I was researching my pick. Do you have an idea of like how you would bring him into the scenario? How you would how Moon Knight makes his grand appearance onto the Avengers stage?
Well, now you're asking too many damn questions, Ben. It was my understanding. our objective was character and cast.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Maybe the moon will be out and they'll say, boy, that, that sure is a Moon Knight.
You rang, and that's how he enters.
Yeah.
So that's my pitch.
We'll beat you lunar or later.
God damn it.
I'm actually fully on board with the horrible
God, especially if it's Alan Tudyk. That's great. If he like, I especially love it if he's actually like a really effective hero, but he's just so lame. So like, you have to bring him along because he's really useful. But God, you wish you didn't have to bring him along because he doesn't stop making these stupid puns.
Plus, it'll be the first good thing that Alan Tudyk was ever in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy.
I mean, hater comments go directly to Doug. They can skip because he was in Tucker and Dale versus Evil, and that's an excellent movie.
I've never seen that. Yeah, I should probably see that someday.
He was also briefly in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
That's true.
Excuse me, not 40-year-old virgin, and Knocked Up. He was in Knocked Up.
Not 40, Knocked Up, yeah. Which he was super funny. Him and Kristen Wiig as the executives. Just like the little role they had. That was hilarious.
Titan?
But I digress.
Okay.
Do you want me to go with mine or do you want to do yours?
I'll go with mine because I did a little extra work and came up with like a whole scene on how they would end the movie, but I just did that. That's fine. So actually I should say this is a character I didn't know about until I started doing the research. I was going to choose a character that I kind of vaguely knew. And in doing research about him, I discovered this other character who is like infinitely more interesting. And so let me set the stage for you. Okay. So the battle for Earth, for the universe, really, has come to Wakanda. Right. We've seen it in the trailers. You've got T'Challa armoring up right next to what looks like Hulkbuster. Although I've heard the rumor that it's Hulk in Hulkbuster. And the whole army's laid out there and they're getting ready for battle. So the fights come to Wakanda. Shuri, getting ready for battle, realizes that Thanos and his forces are just too strong. They're going to need an edge. So she goes and she runs to her mentor, who has been hiding in Wakanda for dozens of years, her teacher and mentor, Adam Brashear, who was once upon a time known as the Blue Marvel. The Blue Marvel is essentially one of the many Superman analogs in the Marvel universe. But he's really cool because, first of all, he's an older African-American man. And his powers come from the fact that he is essentially a living antimatter generator. So you can kind of do all sorts of crazy shit with his powers. They do, like, in the comic books, his powers change from author to author, and sometimes he has almost like Green Lantern type powers in addition to super strength and stuff, but we wouldn't need to do him that crazy in the movie. But here's the cool thing. Here's why I like him. In the comic books originally, he was a Marine during the Korean War. Met his best friend Connor Sims while they were in battle. They both just happened to be physicists, and then they work on an antimatter generator together. It blows up. Adam Brashear becomes the Blue Marvel. A living antimatter generator. His friend Connor Sims becomes the anti-man, just a being of antimatter. And you could retcon this a lot of ways because according to the comic books, Adam Brashear faked his death because America went crazy when they found out that their best superhero was black. So he gave it up and faked his death. Mm-hmm. And then in my version, he went and he hid in Wakanda, and he's been helping them discover all the potential uses for vibranium. Because again, one of the powers he has in the comic books is this antimatter generation has allowed his brain to run faster, so he's one of the smartest people alive. And he taught Shuri, and Shuri asks for his help, and he comes, and he has a badass one-on-one battle with Thanos, and oh my God, we're almost expecting him to win, and he doesn't. And by the way, he's played by none other than Ernie Hudson.
Yes!
Boom! Ernie Hudson playing the Superman analog, looking just ripped and regal as fuck in his Blue Marvel uniform, going toe-to-toe with Thanos. Oh my God.
That would be pretty fantastic.
So that's my pick, Blue Marvel. If you don't know him, look him up because he looks – his story is just the coolest.
That's a really good one. There have been some cool Blue Marvel stories throughout the years, but yeah, he's kind of a obscure character for whatever reason.
Yeah, I'd never heard of him. I got him off a list. I'll tell you just real briefly who I was going to choose because I think it's hilarious. I was going to choose Star Fox. the Marvel Universe Star Fox, not the N64 Star Fox. In the Marvel Universe, Star Fox is Thanos' brother, whose major power is making you want to bone him. Like, his number one power is being able to psychically roofie people. To the point that in the comics, they had like a whole story arc of him coming to terms with the fact that he has essentially assaulted a lot of people and ultimately gives up the power. And I thought that I thought that was going to be really funny, and then you could play with it, and I was going to cast him as Willem Dafoe. But Ernie Hudson, Blue Marvel, way better addition to the Marvel, to the MCU.
Yeah, that's a pretty hard one to follow up with.
Well, except that, I mean, he's too comic booky for the current MCU. He's too much like Superman. And that would, I feel like that would be hard to do in the kind of slightly more gritty world that they've established in the MCU.
It could be. They got Guardians of the Galaxy in there to work, though.
Yeah. I guess that's true. But, okay, sorry, I did not mean to cut you off there, Doug.
Oh, no, no, that's fine. I really like your pick. I'm just not happy that I have to follow it up. But I did think about it, and I went with, so I read Infinity Gauntlet, the storyline that actually is pretty much what, well, it's what inspired Infinity War. There's no way that they're anything close to the same after probably the first fifth of it. But anyway, I thought of a character that was in that and actually played a pretty big role in the first half of the story in the graphic novel, and I just recast it. I went with Marvel villain classic Doctor Doom. And he actually does play a sizable role in the Infinity Gauntlet graphic novel. But I changed his origin story slightly. There's only so much you can do without getting too crazy. But I cast Gael Garcia Bernal as Dr. Doom.
Okay.
He's going to have to play a Spanish scientist for this these purposes. But Spanish scientist, grew up in a very wealthy family that sent him to all these schools around the world where he met. I have to kind of put the Fantastic Four in this movie, at least for story purposes or whatever. But met with them, science experiment went wrong. He blames them all for his condition after, you know, becoming disfigured and the suit sort of becoming part of him and his powers being very erratic, especially early on, before he returns home to take over his family's wealth and businesses. Some years later, Infinity War happens and he's drawn into it as one of the most powerful people on Earth. He's still, though he's had his run-ins with the Avengers in the past in this universe, he obviously staying alive is more important than you know, not helping Captain America. So he gets drawn into that conflict pretty early on.
I'd love to see Doom, like, because I don't know a lot about Dr. Doom. I was never a huge Fantastic Four fan. It was, even as a kid, it was hard for me to get past the name. Like,
well, yeah, it is so campy, and I mean that it was the early 60s when they came out, and it was very much a product of its time. But yeah, they've really struggled to update them in a good way, unlike almost everyone.
Well, and
else.
I mean, it's just there's such a specific thing. I mean, they almost play more like a Hanna-Barbera action cartoon. Like, like I'm thinking, you know, what do you call it? The Herculoids.
Like the Herculoids. Yeah. That's a perfect, yeah, there's kind of hokey. Like, and it's weird.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, it's just weird that they can't update it because, like Captain America doesn't make sense. So they're like, well, he'll be a man out of time. That's the most interesting part. If it was still Captain America running around, like, I mean, I guess the world around him changed, so that helped. But I don't know how you make the Fantastic Four, better, because everybody already has their roles, you know.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. What I always thought that they could play more with, and again, I didn't read much of the comics at all, especially not Fantastic Four. But Reed Richards, right? Mr. Fantastic? What a douche.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, to be, to even be okay with being called Mr. Fantastic, you have to be a pretty like high level douchebag. But then, like, this genius asshole, like, puts his girlfriend and her family members at risk and then mutates them all. And then he gets to look fine and be, I mean, you know, Venture Brothers played with this idea with the, what are the Impossibles? Yeah.
I think it was the Impossibles.
Yeah.
Stephen Colbert was Mr. Impossible.
They do it so well. Because, yeah, Mr. Fantastic gets to look like a normal guy and just have rad stretchy powers that he can turn on and off whenever he wants to.
Yep.
The Invisible Woman. Human Torch is really
Human
rad.
Torch is like, pretty rad, though.
No joke. It's a. Have you seen the meme about, like, Human Torches vindicated by the MCU? And it shows Chris Evans and Michael B. Jordan.
Uh-uh.
It's great.
Oh, it's true.
I lost my train of thought, but...
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, nah, I jumped in there. That's okay.
Yeah, it's tough. I think they've done some... Like, the more interesting recent storylines are where Reed Richards is almost a villainous character.
Yeah.
Like, he's not evil, but the stuff he does causes people around him to be kind of... Kind of worry about him a little bit.
Yeah, I would like it if they played more with the idea that Reed Richards really at least thinks he knows what's best for everyone and isn't afraid to just, like, make big choices and do big things that are, like, maybe not everyone would have wanted things to be handled that way, but super genius Reed Richards just acted.
Yep, he knows best. Did you read Civil War, the original Civil War run from, like, 10 years ago?
I didn't, no.
Okay, I'll have to get that to you, because that he kind of, that's the way he operates in that. The battle there is the Superhero Registration Act.
Yeah.
And he's doing lots of things behind the scenes where, you know, it's for the greater good, as he thinks, but then, you know, his actions get people killed and stuff like that. And he's kind of the catalyst for people to switch sides, and it's good. I think that was their best use of him.
So, yeah, I would love that if... Like, play with the idea of, like, who's really the monster, Dr. Doom or Reed Richards? Are they really just doing the same thing, you know, because Dr. Doom wears that, you know, metal mask and is, I mean, named Doom.
His name is Dr. Doom.
Yeah. So, that could just be bad marketing.
That could be. I mean, his name is Victor Von Doom. There's only so much you can do. Yeah. He could change it to Dr. Von Doom, then that's not as bad.
Yeah. He could just call it Dr. VD, but that's a very different connotation.
Yeah, I don't think you want that. DVD, you could have DVD on the tower, and then...
World. Very clever. So Fantastic Four, but, like...
Yeah, I don't have them in it. No, I'm not worried about that, but I'd bring Dr. Doom in... So they have, and they may in Infinity War, but have more of a kind of anti-hero is not even the right word, but that uneasy alliance, I think, could be really interesting, especially when it gets down to the nitty-gritty time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, can you imagine having to trust Dr. Doom and, like, Loki around the, the Infinity or the is that what they call them? Infinity stones?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. For some reason, you ever do that where it just doesn't sound right when you...
Yeah, I know you say it, yeah.
Yeah. to trust those two around the Infinity Stones would be like, yeah, no one else is as powerful or versatile for this job as Dr. Doom is with his crazy, like, semi-magic powers. Mm-hmm. But then we have to trust him with the Soul Stone, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and that's what I mean, the interesting thing, because, you know, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that the universe might be forever changed, but, like, Thanos isn't going to win, you know? So you could deal with the aftermath of, you know, everybody having to cooperate once the big battles are over and stuff like that. Yeah. I think that could be interesting there, too.
Yeah.
And I went with Garcia Bernal because it's I kind of kept the European thing, mm-hmm. but but I don't want to do like a fake European country. And you know, people would probably want like Mads Mikkelsen to play the role, and I'm sure he'd be good, but I want to do something a little bit different.
Well, and I think we should have license to do something a little different in this day and age. I do like the, because this is something I meant to bring up with Blue Marvel, because he is originally a Korean War veteran, but that's like a long time ago now. So you could either update it and say that he was a Vietnam War vet, or you could just do the comic book thing and say he's a living antimatter reactor and doesn't age at the same rate.
Yeah, I mean, you could, yeah. He's just been around that long.
Yeah. So, but the most important thing is Ernie Hudson.
Let's just find a way to get him in to the movie either way. I mean, that's what we gotta. Should we go to the next one?
I'm really excited to go into the next round and introduce characters from outside. How would you say this? Outside universes, outside.
Yeah, just outside of Marvel Comics, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way I went. Anyway, yeah. I went from the aspect of there's not no way that Marvel would have used or has used these characters in the past, but they're not like Marvel properties.
Okay. See, so I went like anything. Like,
yeah, okay, I did too. I just didn't want to like go make sure like, oh, I hope they didn't appear in some crossover thing. You know, I didn't do that kind of level of research.
Yeah, I didn't either, but I'm also not particularly worried about that with my pick. Who wants to go first this time? Aaron, do you want to start us off again, or do we want to change the rotation?
Oh, I suppose I can kick it off again.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure what kind of sequence would lead up to it. Maybe it'd be one of Thanos's one of his children might be fighting any of the other groups and about to deliver the killing blow, maybe gets sucked into a fiery portal underneath. Right in the sidewalk or whatever. And looming in the shadows comes a pair of green eyes and a red cloak.
Yes!
Spawn emerges from the shadows. And the mask kind of peels back, and there is Tyler Perry.
Yes!
As Madea. As Madea.
Awesome. What?
Spawn played as Madea. So there you go.
Man, Aaron just...
That is a cross.
How could any of us follow that?
God, I'm just the Marvel Universe.
It's
the ultimate tie-in.
What can I say?
Welcome to Hurl.
Oh, my lord. Look at all your cute little outfits.
Oh, my god. It's Murgler Burglar.
Oh, my god.
It's Madrigora. Murgler Burglar. Oh, no. It's Laverne de Curter. The Violator is what it is.
Impossible.
Go ahead and try
that.
Man. God, I thought you I thought I was excited when it was Spawn, and then it was when it was Madea in the Spawn suit. Damn.
It took it to a level that I don't think America or the world is ready for right now.
No, but I mean, it's been brought. Aaron just brought it. It's been put out in the universe, and it needs to exist now. Man.
Well, I can go, because I did cheat a little bit with mine.
Okay. Go, you cheater.
I did cheat, but the goal was to bring something from outside of the Marvel Universe.
Sure.
And I will make it so. Following hundreds of years after the events of the J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie, where it's not really a reboot, but we split timelines because of the black hole in space, which in you know this movie, the black hole is a time warp.
Yeah.
But the crew of the Starship Enterprise and its captain, Jean-Luc Picard, yes, played by the original cast of Star Trek The Next Generation, my God, by the way, is sent to investigate the black hole because they're getting some strange readings and they believe it's growing. Well, they come out of warp a little too close, get pulled in, because on the other end of this now interdimensional portal, Thanos, using the Infinity Stones, has wreaked so much havoc that they're pulled in to the Marvel Universe above the Earth to join the fray.
Wow. Wow.
That's it.
God damn.
Whew.
You guys brought fire. All out. Man. Okay. Whew. I need to compose myself because I'm excited just by the prospect of more Jean-Luc. Like, that is, man.
Oh, yeah.
Man, am I a fan of that. But yeah, that tie-in, it totally makes sense. He's got the reality stone. Yep. Reality is malleable in his hands.
And he's using it, and it's sending off, I don't know, reality radiation, I guess. Yeah. Messing up the whole universe and all of the universes near ours.
Doug, let me ask you this. How would you feel if right when it felt like the tide was turning in the hero's favor, a Borg cube came through said wormhole?
Oh.
That's a hat on a hat.
Might be a hat on a hat. But that's only fair.
Could be a hat on a hat. I'm just spitballing now. Yeah. Cuz here's the thing. For mine I'm going with a deep cut nerd thing. Aaron will understand this. I don't know if you will, Doug. But we'll see. So, we know the Earth is in trouble. The Avengers are mobilizing because Thanos is on his way. They know he's on his way there, and they're preparing. Iron Man and Nick Fury are, because Nick Fury's still alive, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I think so.
Yeah, for some reason, I felt like in one of the movies he may have died, but I think I'm making that up.
He faked his death in Civil War. Or no, not Civil War.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's it. So, Tony Stark and Nick Fury are planning Earth's defense. Well, there's another super genius who doesn't trust Stark, and his name's Hank Pym. And he has a couple of professional super thieves at his disposal. So he hears of an alternate power source, something that might actually be able to withstand the might of Thanos in a one-on-one battle. And it's being held by this highly secretive, highly clandestine company in Japan called Kronos. So he sends Ant-Man and the Wasp to steal whatever this item is. And they bring it back, and it's in a little, you know, whatever those science-y, like zero gravity holding things. It's being in suspended animation in like a little glass Mega Man power cell looking thing.
Yeah.
And it's a little silver ball with like some like tendrils coming out the back that almost look organic. And they don't know anything about it. They couldn't figure anything out. They got it out of there. All that they know is that it's called a Giver unit. And so what it's supposed to do is it's supposed to somehow bond with the user and amplify all their physical traits beyond the limits of human or beyond human limitations. So there's some debate. Hank Pym and Ant-Man, they approach, you know, maybe they approach Cap, or maybe they approach the Winter Soldier, or they approach T'Challa, and they say, hey, we don't know what this is, but it's supposed to make whoever much stronger, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, a bunch of agents from Kronos show up, a bunch of really mean-looking Japanese dudes in suits. And, you know, being superheroes, our heroes are not very intimidated. They're like, okay, hey, listen, it's ours now. Sorry. And then all the Japanese guys in suits turn into crazy monsters. They just turn into like the craziest, most insane monsters. And they go into like a crazy kung fu fight against the heroes, which, you know, of course you're doing the juggling thing, right? Where they're trying to keep the Guyver unit away from them. So it's like fight, fight, fight. It gets knocked out of a hand, grabbed by Thor, until finally, and the thing breaks, and the Guyver unit's just there laying on the ground. And the Zoonoid goes and rushes for it, and right as he grabs it, it bursts into light, and we see a bunch of tendrils shoot out of it, and it becomes a person who becomes, you know, it becomes like the kind of messy outline of a person, and then it becomes the solid armored form of the Guyver. Which, if you don't know what the Guyver looks like, look it up. G-U-Y-V-E-R. It's fucking sick.
Mark Hamill was in the like first one, right?
Mark Hamill was in the first movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So is J.J. Walker.
So was who?
Isn't that his name?
You cut out. It just said
Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Walker. Huh.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in the movie too. He was a Zoonoid.
That's like a believable thing.
It's like, and then he helps dispatch all the Zoonoids, and then the heroes are staring at this like ridiculously armored person, and the armor, you know, they try and contact, the armor retracts, and it's like a 17-year-old Japanese kid who I don't know an actor who's right for that. Because it feels like I don't know a young Asian actor.
You have to trust your casting director on that one.
Yeah. It would probably be best if it was an unknown actor. Introduce someone with that role.
Yeah, that might be good.
Because think about all the fun you could have if he's just some 17-year-old kid. Oh, his name, by the way, is Sho Fukamachi. And think about all the fun you can have with Sho, like, next to Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. And Peter's like, oh, so you're not putting on your suit? You don't wear a suit. This is just you. You're just this. And, you know, Sho kind of looks at him and then just yells, Guyver! And it goes through the crazy transformation that the Guyver unit goes through. And then Spider-Man just has to deal with that image in his head for the rest of forever.
I would watch that movie for sure.
If you haven't seen, by the way, and we can, this could be a whole nother episode. Guyver 2 Dark Hero.
I have, that was the first, I saw that long before I saw the first Guyver.
Guyver 2 Dark Hero is actually a decent movie. Like,
yeah, I remember it being pretty entertaining.
The story's not bad. Actually, even the practical effects, which is why those movies are so great, is that the monsters are all practical effect monsters, not CGI. But they look great in that movie. The acting isn't great, but with a better budget, I don't think the writing was that bad. It was an unfortunate necessity of casting.
I'm kind of surprised that's a movie that hasn't gotten a reboot.
I would love it.
It just seems like one of those movies that they would have thrown out there. Well, we haven't made a Guyver movie in a while.
I think it's got to be in. I mean, it's got to be in the ether. And if it's not, I'm putting it out there because I want a new Guyver movie. But I want them to do it right, like because if I remember right, Guyver that we knew was Americanized. It was a white guy, not Sho Fukamachi. It was,
although it was the like mid-80s, his name might have just been Sho Fukamachi, but they're like played by
Mark Hamill wasn't the lead role.
He wasn't the Guyver. I haven't seen this in a long time then.
Yeah, he was, I think, either the father or the scientist who like accidentally introduced Sho to the Guyver unit.
I have to watch it again. It's been so long that I've completely confused plot of the movie.
Yeah, no, because Mark Hamill wasn't the Guyver. He was captured by Kronos and threatened to be transformed into a Zoanoid in order to lure out the Guyver. And then he only went through like half the transformation and ended up being a half Hamill, half Zoanoid monster. That again looked pretty convincing.
Yeah. You guys remember that show Mantis?
Yeah.
It was like the crippled cop that had put on the costume and ran around and beat up criminals.
Yeah, the suit let him walk and
nope.
Yep. And like kick ass. Around. Yeah. The Guyver always reminds me of that show, and I'm not sure why. I think it's just because it's a suit that augments their abilities.
Yeah.
Early 90s TV, some of it was real bad.
Oh, yeah, some of it was real bad. I mean, and some of the, you know, because I would love to look up. Actually, I should just, why aren't I doing that right now? The Guyver movie, I'm guessing, was 91.
It sounds like a safe bet. I'm surprised none of you guys brought in any Dragon Ball Z characters. I thought that's the way one of
nailed
them
it. 91. Oh, is Mark Hamill a cop in this? He's got a terrible mustache. I thought about bringing in DBZ. But I figure if I'm going anime, the hero I always wanted to be when I was a kid was the Guyver, because I saw the Guyver movie way earlier than any young child probably should, because it's actually fairly gory. And the anime, which I also watched as a child, is even more gory. It's like, it's redonk. But I always thought his powers were the coolest and his armor looked really cool. My problem with like wanting to bring Goku in, or because like my favorite character is Trunks, which actually might work better. He's the one that does all the time traveling. But my problem with that is like, you don't see a lot of energy weapons in this universe right now. You see Iron Man's, and that's more or less it.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true. Yeah, and then like whenever somebody else has one, it's pretty much one of the Infinity Stones, and it's a big deal that it's
happened. It's a big deal that it's happened, and I think a big part of that is like that type of attack, that type of weapon has got to be hard to sell as like, this is something that's really happening, you know, without just your eye going, that's fake.
Spider-Man Homecoming did an okay job of that.
That's a fair point.
But it wasn't
constant.
They weren't fighting with, and we'd seen those, what we would call magical weapons before in earlier movies. So I guess that helps too. I almost brought Luke Skywalker in with a various reasons, but I don't know. Like, that's too easy.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still pretty fun. Like,
yeah.
To imagine Luke going all lightsaber and force on, which Luke would you bring? Young Luke, old Luke?
I'd probably bring old Luke, which that's another thing. I had a way to bring him in, but there's some Last Jedi spoilers with what I was going to use to bring him in. So I didn't want to blow all those up. Because one third of this podcast hasn't seen The Last Jedi yet.
Yeah, Aaron.
I'm working on it.
What was your guys' like? Did you have any fun like runner-ups that you? Because like I was gonna bring in Star Fox until I found out about Blue Marvel.
I did. I thought of Doctor Doom right away. And then I had trouble thinking of anything better than that, or even like something that I shouldn't say better, something that I liked as much as that.
Sure.
I thought about Luke Skywalker. I thought briefly about Deckard from Blade Runner, but then I'm like, how would that?
Oh wow.
he'd be so out of his element. What? He'd arrive only to just get killed immediately.
Yeah. That's fair.
And that's, I think that's really all I thought. I mean, random ideas popped in your head, but then it's like, nah, yeah. I don't know how that would work.
I thought about doing a couple and doing Corbin and Lilu Dallas.
Oh, yeah. The fifth element.
The fifth element. And saying, you know, something about her being the fifth element, the life element, brought her to this conflict.
Oh, the soul gem. Uh-huh.
Or we find out that
if they call it the soul gem in this movie, because we haven't actually seen the soul gem, and they might call it something else.
Well, why would...
Stone, I keep calling them gems.
Why would they call it something else?
They're gems in the comics, okay. I don't think they will, but you never
real, know. Real briefly, can we run through where the gem or the stones are right now?
Yeah.
Because I'm a little confused, because the Tesseract is or is not an Infinity Stone.
It is. And
yes.
You're all caught up, right? Okay, so
yep.
Loki most likely has
it. Yeah, Loki probably has the Tesseract.
Yeah. Spoilers for every Marvel movie, by the way, everybody, if you haven't seen them for some reason.
I don't know if that's a spoiler.
Probably not.
I mean, it may end up being a spoiler in Infinity War, but that's not a spoiler we have intimate knowledge of, so it's a prediction at this point.
Yeah, Loki has the Tesseract, probably. The other alternative is it's floating in space somewhere, wherever Asgard used to be.
Now that's a spoiler. They went down the block.
I'll go through because it's Thanos. There's a Thanos theory that the Infinity Stones are T is for Tesseract, H is for... A lot of people thought it was for Heimdall. Yeah. That's not probably the case anymore. A is for Aether,
which was the Dark Elves thing.
The Collector should still have... A was the ether. N was necklace, which is a little bit of a reach, but that's the Eye of Agamotto, which Doctor Strange has. O is the orb from Guardians of the Galaxy. What planet is that? Xandar has that in a vault. And S is the scepter, which was the Mind Stone, which is in Vision's face currently.
For now.
Yeah. Oh, and H, my theory is now Herb, the heart-shaped herb from Black Panther.
Because, I've seen that theory, that the Soul Stone is in the vibranium meteorite.
That's, I mean, A, why would Thanos be attacking Wakanda in that force? And B, it makes sense because in the beginning of Black Panther, when they say the meteorite hit, they talked about how it changed all the plant and animal life. So I'm guessing that wasn't the vibranium itself doing that.
Good point.
And that's where they are.
Well, there we are. There we are, folks. That's good because I needed that.
I watch them way too closely. And there's a lot of like YouTube videos that run down where they are for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's one I saw that was a half an hour that I did not watch. But I'm also gunning through the MCU again, minus the Incredible Hulk. But
what?
It's not a bad movie. I just don't own it, and it doesn't really...
I was going to say, is that... I guess it is official, because Iron Man appears in the end of it, doesn't he?
Yeah, but they made it... They kind of made it official real close to... I think like once they realized that Iron Man was going to be good, they kind of filmed that scene... real close to like the release date, which is why Ed Norton is not in it at all, because he was already done with it at that point.
Oh my God, I just blanked on who's playing Thor now. Or I mean Hulk now. Ruffalo. Mark Ruffalo. I really like his performance. But I'm just an Ed Norton fan. I like Ed Norton, and I liked his band.
I did too. It's just a shame that apparently he's just a big pain in the ass to work with.
No, and that, I've heard that. Oh my god, I just found the Guyver 1991 full trailer.
See, we need to rewatch that and then just do it. Do 45 minutes on that movie.
Oh my god! Can you guys hear this?
It's playing in your headphones, okay. Right?
Okay. It was, it's playing in my headphone. I wasn't sure if it was playing through this or not. New Line Cinema, guys.
I don't remember when that still existed.
Yep. New Line Cinema.
Well, should we call it?
I think so. I mean, I think we've delved all the depths. I mean, I could go on and on about how I would like to find... Oh, my God! I did have a crazy cool idea for the Guyver. Think about this. Okay, check this out. So, Thanos' ship, right? It hovers over Earth ominously. We need to take it down, right. But none of our weapons are strong enough. The strongest thing we have is the Guyver's Mega Buster, but that's not strong enough. Unless we can use Pym particles to make the Guyver gigantic.
But wait,
it takes too long for me to charge it. They'll see me. They'll see the target. They'll destroy the Guyver. So they have to shrink the Guyver while he opens his chest up and lets the Buster charge. And they keep him safe in a crazy kung fu battle all around him. And then right when he's like, now, they throw the Pym particles at him, and he grows to like huge giganto size and just launches a huge energy blast up into space at Thanos' ship.
Ooh.
Pretty sick.
It sounds pretty good.
I'm just saying, Hollywood needs me.
Well, they have a lot of people who thought Batman vs. Superman was a good movie, so they definitely need some.
Right? Martha. What? Ooh, what am I hearing?
This intro is a lot slower than I thought it was.
What are you hearing?
Oh, God, it's so good, though.
Thanks for joining us.
Give it to me, Patrick.
On this episode of Sots Watch.
Space. The final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. They're continuing Sots Watch to explore strange new topics, to seek out new beers and new inebriation, to boldly drink where no one has drank before.
Well, on that copyright infringement, I'm Aaron.
No, we're not making any money off this. I'm Doug.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for joining, everybody. And by which I mean the two others recording this.
Yeah, we'll listen to it later.
Hey, all right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.